T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we jump on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. National NBA reporter, co-host of the Open Floor podcast, he is Ben Golliver, joins us on, again, the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Ben. Thanks for a couple minutes.
Hi, Ben.
Hey, guys. How's it going? I love hearing Giannis talking like that, by the way. You know, sometimes when you get into those upper echelons of the NBA discussion, it becomes campaign season, right? I mean, there's awards at stake. There's kind of fame and notoriety out there for the taking, and I love Giannis tooting his own horn, and I love the Bucks GM John Horst kind of going out and telling me, look, not only should Giannis be an MVP candidate or the MVP, but he should also be in the Defensive Player of the Year conversation too. I love it. That's what time of year it is, and I love that they're stepping up.
You know, when you think of the great players, the guys who everybody knows, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, NBA guy, household NBA guy, knows LeBron, knows Harden, guys like that. Do you think Giannis is, maybe because of this season, or is it going to take the playoffs, that he's becoming a household name nationally?
Well, it's interesting because I think he's more of a household name internationally, right? I mean, he's got more all-star votes than anybody besides LeBron. He's clearly got a huge awareness in different pockets of basketball fans around the world, but there's no question there's growth potential for him here locally, and it's just because of the fact that he hasn't gone deep in the playoffs yet. And I'm not sure the rest of the NBA universe or the casual fans have really caught up to what the Bucks are doing quite yet. I mean, their offense is just unbelievable. And he has made such strides as a playmaker that I think that when the casual fans tune in, they're not going to just see this guy trying to dunk all over the Celtics like he did in last year's playoffs or a couple years ago, where he maybe gets frustrated at times in the postseason. And I think he made some headlines for, you know, a flagrant foul on Mike Dunleavy. I mean, this year they're going to see a full-fledged playmaker, a guy who's very much in the mold of almost a LeBron or a James Harden, where the ball's in his hands an awful lot. He's setting up his teammates for wide open shots. Everything in their offense sort of revolves around him, and I don't think everyone's completely ready for it. And I'll be honest, I can't wait for it. When I look at the biggest storylines heading into this postseason, there's lots of good ones. Like, I would love to see a Thunder Rocket series in the playoffs. I'd love to see who could really push a Golden State as well. But I think Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks breakthrough or potential breakthrough here is one of the very top stories that we're looking at when we come into the postseason.
So the Bucks at 43-14 here at this All-Star break. I mean, it's as good as they've ever played here in Milwaukee, outside maybe that championship season some 40 years ago. They have some things working against them. Just historically, they haven't won a first-round playoff series in 17, 18 years. This team completely removed from those teams, but that, there's that curse. You do have people thinking, okay, well, Mike Budenholzer has taken a team 60 wins in the East before. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. Maybe they don't have enough shooting. Maybe they need Chris Middleton to play like an all-star and not mediocre as he's been at times this season. What do you think over the next couple of weeks here, a couple of months before the playoffs do start, where do the Bucks have to tweak themselves and get better so that they can sustain a long playoff run?
Well, you know, the first thing on the coach Bud skepticism, I mean, remember that 60-win Hawks team, they fell apart because of injuries. I mean, that was really their downfall, and it was an ugly ending for them getting swept by LeBron and the Cavaliers, but I don't think that was sort of an accurate portrayal of what that team could be in the playoffs. And I think people love to cite that team as, they got everybody's hopes up and then they let people down. It's like, well, when half your team gets injured, that's a little tough. But, in terms of this year's Bucks, remember that Giannis has had his minutes scaled back so much this season. The last time I checked, he was playing 33 minutes a night. I mean, that is so far below what superstars play in the postseason. And I think that's one reason why I'm really bullish on what Milwaukee can do in terms of making a deep run, because the longer you keep Giannis on the court, the more the positive impact that superstar player is going to have. And, I understand it's very rare for a team to go from like a first round and out all the way to the finals or all the way to, deep to the conference finals. But it's also rare to have the best player in the conference. And to me, when we're looking around the East, I understand the arguments for Kawhi Leonard or Joel Embiid. But if we're talking about total overall impact, and you know how it's translating to team success on both offense and defense. To me, the answer is Giannis, and that's pretty simple. And I think for them, they should expect to win a first round series easily, you know, given the quality of the matchup they're going to be in, whether it's the 1-8 or the 2-7. And from there, they've got questions, but so do everybody else. I mean, Boston's got chemistry questions. Philly's got to put their whole roster together here after the deadline. You know, you look at Toronto, Milwaukee's own Toronto this year in the head-to-head matchups too. And I think one advantage that the Bucks have that some of those other teams don't have, I don't see them splintering because of ego purposes or because of personality conflicts or fights over the ball. The way they play has the benefit of keeping everybody happy because the ball moves and because everyone knows who the superstar is. There's no real questions about roles. There's no tug of war over whose ball it should be. And I think teams like the Sixers and the Celtics are, especially, are going to run into those questions. Or even the Raptors, you know, when they get late in games, it seems like the whole thing slows down. Kawhi dribbles and he throws up a contested shot. And that's not a lot of fun for your teammates to watch. And when I look at the Milwaukee Bucks, I think they've got the chemistry factor and the fit factor with their roster that maybe would make up for some of the bigger talents that other rosters have.
Okay, so you think that there's a couple of teams there in the Eastern Conference that you can see, even though they have some talent, that there might be some selfish attitudes that might cost these guys a few games in the postseason.
Well, we know in the postseason that things get really tense, right? I mean, we've seen LeBron James go at his coaches before, whether it's David Blatt or whoever else. We've seen guys, you know, fight over the ball. I mean, it just happens. The pressure is magnified. And when you've got some not very clean fits, I mean, look at Philly. There's a lot of mouths to feed in Philly, especially after that Tobias Harris trade. And you've got some guys who don't want the ball late in games, like Ben Simmons, because, you know, he doesn't want to shoot the free throws, doesn't want to shoot the jumpers. And so you're going to have real questions. What are you trying to do in those pressure-packed moments? Who's going to step forward? That's an open question for them. Same thing in Boston. I mean, all we're hearing about is how the players and their post-game comments are just so miserable. And, you know, Kyrie Irving might be leaving or he might not be leaving, and he doesn't owe you anything. And he's always trying to make these negative headlines. You just don't hear that from the Milwaukee Bucks. And I wrote this in my story, but you know, if the NBA is kind of a soap opera these days, and the Bucks are a terrible soap opera because they have no drama. All they do is go out there and win basketball games, and they seem to like each other, and they play basketball the right way in very San Antonio Spurs, you know, Coach Bud-like fashion. And I think that makes for a bad soap opera, but a great basketball team. And ultimately, when I'm looking at, you know, postseason matchups, I want to know which teams are going to be able to play to their potentials, which teams are not going to beat themselves. And to me, that's the Milwaukee Bucks. And I could easily see a team like Philly or a team like Boston, you know, if they hit some adversity, you know, there being some implosion potential.
Talking with Ben Golliver, NBA reporter, Washington Post, there is a lot of a lack of drama with this Bucks team. They are winning. And basically, when we get on the show to talk Bucks, it's, all right, tell me how super they are. And then Tuesday's show will be, tell me how great they are. And then Wednesday's show will be, tell me how awesome they are. Because they are playing very well and playing very consistent. There is, however, Ben, one topic with this team that does bring up drama, at least with our listeners and our callers, and that is Chris Middleton, where Chris Middleton is an all-star, but I think that Bucks fans have kind of viewed him. They want him to be a true number two. They want him to. They've been trying to trade him for Bradley Beal for the last five seasons. They always want to improve, even though the Bucks are 43-14. They're always trying to improve that second spot on the Bucks. I think a lot of Bucks fans also don't want to pay him $30 million if he is going to be earning the max if the Bucks do want to keep him. I just think that he's such a nice compliment to Giannis that you try to keep this together as long as you can. And I'm not convinced that one of these other superstars will actually come to Milwaukee, even if they say they want to play with Giannis. So how do you view Chris Middleton? Is he deserving of the All-Star nod that he got? And what kind of offseason should we expect from him financially?
Yeah, I was glad he got the All-Star. I mean, this might not have been a perfect season for him, but it did feel a little bit like a career achievement award. He's always been like kind of on that borderline All-Star level. And to me, the sacrifices that he's made in terms of, you know, sliding in comfortably as the number two guy, not rubbing up against Giannis, not trying to take away that shine, don't take that stuff for granted because that's really hard to find in today's NBA. But I understand what your callers are saying. I mean, you really like or you love Chris Middleton at his current contract number, but the idea of paying him almost double or whatever it would be, you know, on the new deal, it does make your skin crawl a little bit because now you're locking into that core. And, you know, if he's not that top 10 player or top 15 player, it makes you nervous about whether you'd be able to win a title. But I'm with you. I mean, I was stunned when Anthony Davis put the Milwaukee Bucks on his list. I loved it. It made me fantasize about what a Giannis and Anthony Davis partnership could look like. But the Bucks have some serious challenges when it comes to recruiting outside talent. And I think that's why you've got to give the front office a lot of credit here. I mean, they've made some really calculated additions, whether it was the Eric Bledsoe trade, the Brook Lopez signing, you know, right down the list of guys who fit well and who would be likely to re-sign in Milwaukee if, you know, they were feeling satisfied and they were finding success on the court. And, you know, they're at a very interesting juncture this summer after the postseason where basically half the roster is free agents and they're going to be able to sort of pick and choose which of those guys they want to keep in town. I would actually be surprised if there was a ton of outside interest in Chris Middleton, in terms of those really big, crazy contracts. I mean, I understand that, he's probably a top 10 free agent on this summer's market, but, he's not a guy who's going to carry a team by himself. He makes the most sense playing along a superstar as a number two guy. And then, of course, he's already expressed interest in sticking around in Milwaukee, which, you know, that could signal some teams, hey, we should go look at some, you know, other comparable players. So, I think, you know, long-term, big picture, he's going to still be there. I do think there's going to be some sticker shock once he signs his contract, but that's the nature of the beast in the NBA. I mean, these guys play well, they earn all-star nods, and then they get paid. And you just hope that his body can hold up here, you know, throughout the course of that next deal. That goes back to Coach Bud. I mean, he's really keeping the minutes off these guys in a way that Jason Kidd and Joe Prunty just didn't. I mean, they're definitely even been given nights off at times, you know, for strategic resting purposes. I love to see that. That's how sort of the top shelf, you know, A-list contenders handle things. And it's nice to see Milwaukee, you know, adapt some of those attitudes after, you know, running these guys into the ground basically the last few years.
You know, there's a rumor out there that the Brewers are the Brewers. And we talk about the Brewers. The Bucks have acquired Mirotić. I think I saw a rumor last week that the Bucks did that. Yeah. I haven't seen him. I've seen something that looks like him on the Bucks bench in street clothes. I think that's him. So, I mean, when he gets added to this team, if and when, I can't wait for that day. I was hoping it was going to be last night. I was hoping it was going to be against Chicago or even this past weekend. But what do you think Mirotić is going to add to these guys?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically what Ilyasova was supposed to be. And Ilyasova just didn't really work out, I mean, for age-related reasons. And, you know, he's just at a different stage of his career. And that was, you know, if you want to call it a misfire from their management, you know, that one, it made a lot more sense in theory than it's worked out kind of in practice. But what Mirotić gives you is the three-point shooting from deep. He gives you the versatility to kind of, go off the dribble. If he gets a slower matchup, he can get to the basket too. And defensively, he can play four and five. He just lets you stay completely spread out and also use those smaller lineups without having Giannis absorb all of the bruising and all of the pounding and all of the beating in those situations. So, he's a very nice, versatile player, very clean fit, you know, completely like prototypical Bud-style player in terms of catch-and-shoot three-pointer, a guy who can get hot. I'm sure, you know, you guys and your listeners remember, I mean, he was scorching down the stretch of last season going into the playoffs, had a really big playoff first-round series against Portland. I mean, he was probably one of the difference makers. When the Blazers loaded up their defense on Anthony Davis, Mirotić was just sniping and making Portland pay with the three-point shot just time after time after time. And you can see the same type of opportunities being available for him with Milwaukee where, you know, as Giannis was, you know, saying in that quote you guys played earlier, everyone's going to have to collapse and help on him in the postseason. And when he's drawing two and three defenders, he's going to need guys to knock down shots, and Mirotić is certainly capable of that. He's been in the moments, and like a lot of these other guys that John Horst has acquired, I mean, he's a veteran, experienced player who's not going to be shocked and stunned by, you know, the playoff pressure. He's just going to step right into it and do what he does.
Follow Ben on Twitter at Ben Golliver, WashingtonPost.com. Ben, we appreciate it. We will get in touch down the road.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be there in June, guys. I'm not supposed to root for anybody, but I like how this Bucks team plays and how they carry themselves. I think they're good for basketball, and I hope it continues.
All right, Ben. It'll stay right for Summerfest if you want, so we'll have to talk about that later.
We'll talk to you later, Ben.
All right. Take care, guys.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.